We're turning in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 8 down to and including verse 20 this evening. And it has come to December. And whether we like it or whether we don't, Christmas is almost upon us. And everything that goes with that. And I want to just start gathering our thoughts about the purpose of Christmas tonight. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 down to verse 20. And the word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We'll finish there at verse 20, and we know God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Now, as I've said, we are at this time of year. It's coming upon us. It's coming quickly. I don't know how Christmassy you might feel. I don't know how Christmassy I feel at the minute. Sometimes I feel like it's nearly here, and then other times I think, no, I'm not ready for it yet. But it appears sometimes as though Christmas comes earlier every year. That's what it feels like to me anyway. Commercialism has done that. And even with all of the various restrictions, whatever those restrictions might be, come Christmas, we had restrictions last year, and we don't know what the government are going to throw at us between now and then. Certainly with regards to how we have Christmas in our homes and with our families and all of those things. And we'll just have to wait and see what they might want us or might think that they want us to do, because we don't know. But commercialism's rife, and that's a reality with regards to Christmas in the towns and the villages. They seem to have their official Christmas switch on times earlier all the time. I think the Christmas lights go on in the middle of November now, and it sort of just feels like once they get past the end of October, well, it's time to start thinking about Christmas. And it does build up the hype. There's no question about that. For many retailers, I suppose there's a sense of when that comes, there's an opportunity here to try and make sure that people spend as much as possible. And sometimes I think as this all happens, and as we have everything that goes on around it, I think that the real meaning, the true meaning of Christmas can get very easily lost in the mix. And that shouldn't be the case for the Christian. That shouldn't be the case for God's people. Christmas should be one of those celebrations when we really take that time to draw aside and we consider what it means for those of us who are saved. It should remind us about the coming of the Saviour. So I was thinking about this, and I think over the next two Sunday nights at least, I want to consider the gospel in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because ultimately at the end of the day, that's the purpose for his coming. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come so that we would have something to celebrate at this time of year. He didn't come so that we would have a time whenever we could get together with family and friends and have a big party and do all of those things. The Lord Jesus Christ came so that we would have something to celebrate for all of eternity. So that we would have God's salvation. Because the baby of Bethlehem is the Christ of Calvary. And the Christ of Calvary is the King of Glory. And we need to put all of that together in one picture and understand that when we come to this time of year, we're coming to celebrate the fact that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. So in our passage that we've read this evening, we have the angelic announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds are in the field and they're watching their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. So we have this angelic announcement. Now, I want you to notice first of all, just by way of introduction here, that the angelic announcement, the announcement of the birth of Christ, wasn't made at the time of it in some sort of worldwide manner. Nor was the birth of Christ made an announcement to the religious leaders in the land. It was made in the fields outside a little town called Bethlehem. And it was made to a group of shepherds. Men whose names we never read. We don't know their names. But this is who the announcement of the birth of Christ was made to. These were just ordinary people. They were just engaged in their ordinary work. And the interesting thing about this revelation, and I think it's Warren Wiersbe who put it like this, he said, by visiting the shepherd, the angels revealed the grace of God towards mankind. Because shepherds were really deemed as outcasts in Israel. Their work made them ceremonially unclean. But their work also kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time, so that they couldn't be made ceremonially clean. So therefore the angel has come and has declared this message to the least expected people. And as we come to this passage this evening and see that this is a message, that this declaration is something for mankind. It's not just for people who deem themselves to be religious. It's not just for people who are good people, who are churchgoers. This is a message which is for all mankind. I want us to think about what the angel said to the shepherds on that night. Because it's a message which has absolute significance, timeless significance. The message that the angel gave to the shepherds on that night so many years ago is relevant for today. Because the message is still the same today. There's three things that we see in their proclamation this evening that I want us to look at this evening. I want you to see, first of all, that this message of the angel speaks about good tidings. Look at verse 10 with me. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Now notice this language that's used by the angel. He told them, first of all, that they had nothing to fear. Why did he say that? Well, he said that because they were afraid. You'll see that in verse 9. It says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Or literally, it means they were extremely afraid. These shepherds were terrified. Something supernatural was happening. Something that they didn't understand. Something they knew nothing about was happening. The glory of the Lord shines round about them. They're afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now as we think about what happened here, as we think about these shepherds sitting out, tending to their flocks in the field at night, is it any wonder that they were afraid? Just about their business. Suddenly, it's as though somebody's flicked on the light at night. And there's a blaze of light all around them in the middle of the field. And there's an angel who's standing before them. And I wonder, as we think about it, even though we have the blessing of having the Word of God and knowing that God can move in ways like this, and He's still the same God and He could move like us if He chose to, I wonder what would happen if we were standing out in the dark and suddenly everything lit up. There was a blaze of light and there was an angel standing before us. I tell you, I believe that most of us would be afraid, just like these shepherds. But there was nothing to fear. Not one thing to fear. And the angel said, fear not. And then the angel went on and spoke these amazing words. He says, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good tidings. And as we think about that little statement, just those couple of words, good tidings, I was reminded of the meaning of the word gospel. At the start of this meeting, I welcomed you to our gospel meeting. When Wesley was doing the announcements, he welcomed you to our gospel meeting. And the word gospel means good news. When you come to this meeting, it's a meeting where you will hear good news. You will hear good tidings. And the good news is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For many years, the people here had been waiting for this good news. They'd been waiting for their Messiah to come. They'd been looking for this one who would come and would be their deliverer. And now suddenly in this field outside the town of Bethlehem, to these shepherds, a lowly group of shepherds, suddenly there's good news. Good tidings has been brought. The announcement has been made. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's no better news than that. The word that's translated here where the angel says, behold, I bring. The word bring there, it literally means to preach. What do we have here? We have an angel announcer. He's a preacher. And he's come to preach good news. He's a gospel preacher. And he preached the gospel to these shepherds. And we can see that as he's preached the gospel to them, they've responded to the announcement further on in the passage. Look at verse 15. It says they went to Bethlehem because they believed. And it says that they said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed. The Lord had made it known unto them. And they left the fields and they went into Bethlehem and there they sought out the one who had been revealed to them. The one who was their deliverer. The one who was their Messiah. The one that the Lord had made known unto them. In verse 16 it says they came with haste. They didn't dilly-dally. They didn't say, hold on a wee minute, I need to go back home and tell somebody something. Hold on a wee minute here, I think I've left my coat behind in the field. They didn't do any of that. It says they came with haste because this was news that was worth hearing. This was something worth seeing. They were going to see the Messiah. Something worth seeing. In verse 17, it says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. What do we see here in this account? We see that they heard about the Savior. They believed on the Savior. They saw the Savior. And they went out and they told others about the Savior. In verse 20, it tells us that they returned, glorifying and praising God. This changed them. These good tidings changed their lives. They were different people. It changed them to the extent that they were filled with praise to the Lord for what he had done. Can I ask you a question this evening? And maybe I'm talking, and in fact I believe, largely speaking, I'm talking to people who have heard the good tidings many times. You've heard the truth that Christ came into the world to save sinners. You've heard the truth that the Savior has come. You've heard the truth that you're born as a sinner and you need God's salvation. And you've heard that Jesus Christ went to the cross and there he died for you. I want to ask you a question. How has it impacted your life? Because when these shepherds heard the truth, when they heard that the Messiah had come and they believed and they went and they came with haste and then they told people and we see how it changed them. How has the gospel impacted your life? This is the greatest news. The greatest news that any man or woman could ever hear. This is better even than life-changing news. Sometimes we describe the gospel as something that's life-changing, but I think that underplays it. It's eternity-changing news. It doesn't just change your life. It changes your eternal destiny. It changes your eternal hope. Because before this, you have no eternal hope. Before Christ, you don't have hope. Things are hopeless. But in Christ, you have a hope for eternity. This is eternity-changing news. You know, sometimes people can talk about getting news that's life-changing. And that type of news can be positive, can be good news, And that type of news can be negative. It can be bad news. And it changes lives. It changes the situation in life. It changes how we behave in life. But the news that the shepherds heard, that the Messiah had come, that the Savior of the world is born, a Savior which is Christ the Lord, the news that they heard had the power to change everything for them, had the power to change their eternity. And the good tidings that they heard are the same good tidings that you hear every time you hear the gospel. It has the power to bring you from darkness into light, if you would only trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good tidings. But I want you to see, secondly, not only do we see good tidings here, but the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." So it goes on here. And the angel in this announcement really provides a synopsis, a description, if you like, of what should be the response of every heart to the good tidings. The news should bring great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The word here for joy is a Greek word. It's the word chara. And it literally means a joyfulness. And really what the angel was saying here is that these good tidings should fill your heart and fill your life with joy. That's what the gospel brings. That's what the good news of the gospel brings. And we sang a carol this evening, the carol Joy to the World. And we think about the joy that it brings. Listen to the words of that first verse again as we reflect upon them. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Let every heart prepare him room. Reflect upon those words of joy to the world in light of this glorious message that the angel has brought to the shepherds in the field outside Bethlehem. Good tidings of great joy. Sometimes we can sing hymns and songs and carols, whatever you want to call them. Sometimes we can think them or sing them without thinking about what it says and without thinking about the depth of the lyrics, as there are good sound biblical lyrics there. And yet immediately after the declaration was made here, as we read here, it tells us what takes place. Look as we go down through the verses, down to verse 13. The angel makes the announcement, and at the end of the angel making the announcement, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What happens? The message is declared. The gospel is spread forth. And as men, in this case, but as men and women believe it, praise and glory should shed forth in the hearts of all who hear it. Praise and glory goes up in heaven because of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Heaven sang. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Praise and glory from the heavenly host. But you know, not only did heaven sing, but in verse 20, we see the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I believe the shepherds sang. What do we see here? Just like Joy to the World says, heaven and nature sang on this declaration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is truly the greatest story ever told. And when we think about this great story, this wonderful truth that we read about in the Bible, this wonderful story of love, this wonderful story of grace and mercy, and a story of hope, and a story of sacrifice, and a story of God the Son coming to this earth and going to that cross and taking the sins of the world upon himself. And there's so many facets to this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the story of the redemptive work of Christ. And yet, above it all, it's a story of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. R. Kent Hughes The preacher says that a multitude is a number beyond count. When we read it in Scripture, a multitude is a number beyond count. The sky was filled with angels because this was the most amazing event that had ever happened in the entire universe. That God became man and dwelt among us, lived a perfect, sinless life, and went to the cross of Calvary. And there upon that cross he suffered and he bled and he died for sinners. What a truth it is that God became man in order to be our Savior. It should fill the hearts of everyone with joy this evening. It should cause mankind to burst forth in praise. The sad thing is, that's not what happens today. The sad thing is that as we look around us in the world, and sadder still, maybe even as we look around us, as we come to a gospel meeting, there are those who sit in gospel meetings and go out of gospel meetings and they reject this wonderful message, these good tidings of great joy, looking for peace in this world. Looking for satisfaction in this world. Looking for hope and looking for joy in other things. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. True peace is only found in the person of Christ. The one who came to this earth to deal with your sin. To deal with my sin. To deal with the sins of the world. He came to bring us everlasting joy. But in order for you to have that joy, you have to trust in Christ. You have to come confessing your need of Him. Confessing the fact that you know you're a sinner and you can't do anything about your sin. And your sin separates you from God. But Christ has done something about it because He took the punishment for your sin. He paid the price for your sin. That's why He came. He came to be the Savior. Do you know Him as your Savior this evening? Do you know Christ? We see good tidings and we see great joy. But I want you to see in verse, the end of verse 10 and into verse 11 that there's glorious hope. Because it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the crux of this whole declaration of the angel in this field outside the town of Bethlehem. As these shepherds are sitting there and they're looking at their sheep and watching their sheep, and suddenly the angel comes and makes a declaration. And the message is very simply this: there's hope. There's hope for all mankind. The angel says in verse 10, the end of verse 10, which shall be to all people. That means there's no one here who is beyond God's redemption. There's no one here who's beyond the hope of God's salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you've rejected the offer of God's salvation many times. Maybe you think that there's no hope because you've rejected Him. Well, let me tell you, there's hope if you trust in Christ. There's hope if you'll come to the one who is the Savior, as Luke records for us here. It's to all people. Look what the angel has said. He's declared the wonderful theology of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He says the Messiah has come and He's been born this day and He's the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's come to save sinners. Well, why do we need a Savior? We need a Savior because of sin. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us over in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Bible here tells us that these are good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So here on this day that we're thinking about, the Savior was born. He's not born in a palace. He's not born anywhere. He's not born with an announcement made in the temple. He's born in a stable. He's laid in a manger. The announcement is made in a field full of sheep. The Savior has come to all men. Not just to the religious. Not just to the rich. Not just to the esteemed. But He's come to all mankind. It shall be to all people. And his name is Jesus. And of course, his name means Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel calls him Christ. Simply means anointed. He's the long-awaited deliverer. He's the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. They've been waiting for him to come, and here he's come. He's come to be a Savior. He's come to be the Savior. Over in Luke 1, in the previous chapter, verse 76, it tells us about John the Baptist, that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And then in verse 79, it says that the Messiah would give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And here the declaration's been made in a blaze of splendor, in a blaze of light. The Jews in the land were looking for a deliverer who would bring them peace from Roman rule. And they missed the point. They missed the purpose of his coming. Their greatest need was not to have a deliverance from Roman rule. Their greatest need was not to have peace in their own land. Their greatest need was to have peace with God. And that's the greatest need of all mankind, to have peace with God. That's your greatest need tonight. You might think that you need this, that, or the other. Your greatest need is Christ. Your greatest need is peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be your deliverer. And he's the only one who could obtain peace for sinful man. And in order to obtain that peace for sinners like me and like you, he had to go to a cross. And there upon that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and he died. There upon that cross, as God poured out his wrath upon his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, there the Lord Jesus Christ made peace with God. There the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the sins of the Lord, of the world. Is he your Savior tonight? Do you know him tonight as your Savior? As you think about it this time of year, as we're coming now towards, over these next 3 weeks, towards the Christmas season, and there'll be so many things that will happen, and so many things will take your attention. But don't lose sight of the fact that this season is to celebrate the birth of Christ, the coming of the Savior. When you contemplate the baby in the manger, don't forget that he's the Christ of Calvary. When you contemplate the baby in the manger, don't forget that he's the risen Lord Jesus. When you contemplate the baby in the manger, don't forget that he's the Lord of glory. And he's the soon coming King. The angel called him Lord. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's God made manifest in the flesh. And he came to deal with your sin and to deal with my sin. I can't even begin to explain the awesome mystery of how God became man. But while I can't explain it, this book tells me it. And this is God's word. And I believe it with all of my heart, that God became man. That God the Son came to this earth to be the Savior of sinners. The shepherds here had heard about the Savior and they believed it to be true. And they came to the Savior and they went away rejoicing because they had met the Savior. And tonight you've heard about the Savior. Do you believe it? Is he your Savior tonight? Have you trusted in Christ? Has your sin been dealt with? Friend, tonight is the only way of salvation. He's the only way to have peace with God. Don't lose sight of Jesus and the purpose of his coming. Don't get so wrapped up in the busyness of Christmas that you lose sight of the reason why he came. In fact, don't leave tonight without getting right with God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him tonight. Have your sin to be dealt with. Wouldn't it be a wonderful Christmas this year if you trusted in Christ? Wouldn't it change the whole tone of Christmas for you if you trusted in Christ tonight. It would take on a whole new meaning, a whole new purpose, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and your sin was dealt with. Christmas really would be Christmas for you if you came and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I trust that you will. I trust that you'll come to Him and have your sin to be dealt with.